I said earlier on that Ross Lewis would be in. Ross, of course, founder of Chapter One and Austereo Lucio. And we are staring ahead at a potential VAT cut in the budget for restaurants, which our panel earlier on was saying was the kind of money that could be used to hire 8,000 teachers. And of course, the restaurants are saying we'll keep restaurants afloat. You're in the latter category, Ross, I assume.
Yeah, I am actually, Anton. And just before we start, I want to say that I'm not an industry spokesperson. I'm obviously not here to try and politically defend VAT cuts up against, tax rate bans and child poverty and so on.
Of what it's like to run a restaurant.
I can give you a sense of my own personal experience of how it is to run a restaurant. And firstly, I would say that, well, I've been in the industry for 38 years and I've been employing people for 33 years. And of late, of course, I mean, COVID was an awful shock to the industry. And I think we did 13 weeks trading in a year and a half. So you can imagine everyone's income levels were down and people were struggling. And they were at the behest of landlords and banks and so on and so forth. So, I mean, following on from that, there's been, a high degree of inflation. You have the kind of holy trinity of costs, which are energy, labour and product costs, which are food and drink, have gone up. And of course, what people also understand, the follow through from that is if labour costs go up and energy costs go up, then all the incoming services go up. So when somebody comes in to fix one of your 27 fridges and your four air conditioners and your heating systems, and you have 40 pieces of equipment and you have to replace your carpets and all this, that and the other. Well, the cost of all those services coming in, it's been hyperinflated. Where you used to pay 140, 160 euros to have your coffee machine looked at, now they're coming in and giving you bills for 280. You know, as a small consequence, I think we spent about 5,000 or 6,000 getting canapes cleaned last year, because the legislation says that canapes must be cleaned once a year, then it said twice a year, and then it says that if you're over a certain amount of covers, you have to have it done three times a year. And these people come in when you're finished work at 11 o'clock and there's three or four of them and they stay there all night and they clean the insides of all the ducting. And if you don't do it and you say, well, look, lads, that's, we're under pressure here, They just say, well, then if something happens, the insurance company mightn't cover you. So there's a multiplicity of costs. And I don't really come on really to moan about costs. Costs are a feature of doing business. And I've gone through the recessions, the upturns and the downturns. But I feel that the number of angles, I keep asking myself every couple of weeks, geez, if you do your time over again, knowing what you know now and seeing how the industry is now, would you do it again, all over again? One side of me says, I've had the greatest, most exciting career. I've met the most brilliant people. The restaurant industry is like being in a circus. It's being on the world's biggest stage play and anything can happen. And I have seen everything happen and you'd never be bored. But the second part of the question answer is, I don't know if I would. But I do.
But Ross, was that not ever the case? Was starting a restaurant not always a daft thing to do?
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is actually. And and then I think to myself, but sure, when I did this first, I did in Parnell Square, I was 26 years of age. And all I wanted to do is have my name over the door. And I wanted to work hard and I wanted to succeed, first of all. And after succession, I wanted to make a few quid. And you don't think about those things. You don't see the icebergs when you're that age. You just go for it. But what I will say to you is my observation over the years, I want to speak as a sort of a small business owner, because what I have observed really is that over the years, I mean, there is more and more pressure on the small business person. You set out, when I ask a chef, a young chef, Anton, I say, why did you get into this business? And I'm thinking the first thing they're going to say is, oh, chef, because I love food. And the first thing they say to me is, because I want to open my own restaurant. And that's huge. And so anyone who employs even one person today, is a great example.
Well, can I ask you two things out of that then, Ross? One is, how does it seem? And I mean, some of the numbers would suggest that it is the case. I mean, the growth in the restaurant sector, there is continued growth over the last couple of years, despite the challenges. It seems to be vibrant. You walk around the centre of particularly the capital city, you see a whole load of restaurants, a whole load of new restaurants. So in that context, A, what am I missing? And B, how will a relatively small VAT cut answer the kind of cost issues that you're describing? Because they seem much bigger than a little tweak to VAT.
Yeah, so, I mean, as I was just saying, that for me, the bigger picture is that as a small business owner, all incoming legislation suits businesses with scale, okay? So it's a one-fit-all. So when you have wage increases and you have pension auto-enrollment and all. So the Googles and the large employers, so whether you employ 3,000 people or three people, it's the same costs. And it's like the straw that's starting to break the camel's back, because it's ongoing. And it's a huge pressure. And my father opened Pfizer Pharmaceuticals in Cork. So I was raised by the foreign direct investment dollar. I get it and I understand it. And I think Ireland has done a magnificent job, even though we're slightly over-reliant on the FDI, as we're now finding out. But there's the small business people as well. They add immeasurably to the culture, to the community. They're just fantastic people. And they're feeling neglected. They're feeling unsupported. Now, we could say, why don't we target subsidies at, you know, employing people or, you know, energy and so on and so forth. But that's very difficult to do. What the VAT does, it is a one fits all. Everyone gets that increase. I would say to you, I can't speak for everybody, but I would say when I speak to people who own restaurants, people that I think are doing well, I'd say, well, how are you doing this year? How are you gonna be at the end of the year? And they say, I'm hoping to break even. There's a lot of people, I would think, who are just treading water. And I know the VAT, it's like the hottest three-letter word at the moment, and so on and so forth. And, but they're kind of treading water. Their noses, I think, of some of the small business owners that employ people, that add to the community and the fabric of society, who need to be supported. They're looking up, and the VAT is the life ring on the water.
Give us a sense of what you're seeing happening in the restaurant trade generally, because I get the sense that, funny, we were talking about a K-shaped economy earlier on, I get the sense of a similar thing in the restaurant industry, that there is now the extremely high end where people will pay a small fortune, and then there's casual dining and there's nothing in the middle. Am I right in that? Is that what's sort of happening?
No, what's happening is, that, so the industry is, there's a number of changes, there's market forces changing as well. What you have at the bottom, this is the way I see it, you've fast food, okay? That's anything up to 15 euros. Between 15 euros and 30 euros, you have this bottom half of what they call the middle market. The bottom half of the middle market is fast food formula. So a restaurant, we do only noodles or, you know, small Asian plates or whatever else, two or three people in the kitchen, you know, almost a fast food type of formula. Then anything from 30 euros to about 120 euros is kind of the top end of the middle market, where more serious setups, you might have bigger wine lists and, you know, linen and, you know, expensive cutlery and nice interiors and art and all that kind of thing. On top of that is sitting the top end. The top end, you'll have to be around the two or three Michelin star level. It'll appeal to less and less people, but that cohort of people are extremely wealthy. And essentially, there'll be only one or two in every city. They're getting increasingly expensive, and they always will get more and more expensive because the input costs are crazy. You're not competing if you're two or three Michelin stars. You know, you need the customers on your doorstep, but your standard has to be the same as the best in London, the best in New York, and the best in Paris. That's what they expect.
Do you still personally eat in those kind of restaurants? Are you still interested in that kind of cooking?
Yeah, I do. You know, I've kind of falling slightly out of love with, you know, I don't like the 16 course thing, right? You know, I love giving me some first of all, to say that I do go away as a course of my business and my love of restaurants and interest to eat in some of the great restaurants in the world. And when I walk in the door and I look at the outside and I see the architecture of the building, I walk in through those glass doors, I'm greeted with somebody with a big, beautiful smile on their face, and I sit down, I look at the linen, the shining glasses and the silverware and the art and this bespoke interiors, and I think, yeah, this is like looking at a beautiful woman. It's just absolutely fantastic. And I say to myself, this is the reward for all the hard work and all the slog and the shite that you go through and the blood, sweat and tears. And I'm here and I'm going to call the sommelier over and I'm going to indulge myself for 3 to 4 hours.
Ross, thank you very much for coming in. That is Ross Lewis, founder of Chapter One and chef patron of Osterio Lucio.